There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby!
That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday. The phone number and the text line, 343-0106. Of course, you heard the national news update, but if you didn't, we talked about it at the beginning of the hour, just a very, very sad situation. Like I said, even though I think I can paint some pictures with words, to see the video of the children, not just the parents, but the children that were coming out of that school in Minneapolis, just look in their eyes when you get to see it, just stop for a second, look in their eyes. Oh, heart breaks here. As a total now of 19 people wounded in the shooting at the Annunciation Catholic School in Minneapolis. All but three of those were children. Two children aged 8 and 10, babies, y'all, died in this. They said one child has been discharged from the hospital. The shooter was dressed in all black and armed with a rifle when he fired at Annunciation Catholic Church just before 8:30 a.m., Minneapolis police said he had a rifle, shotgun, and a pistol, which he used to fire from outside the church through a window. Police say the shooter is dead from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. He's in his early 20s and didn't have an extensive criminal history. Now, somebody had commented on the text line that he did. I don't have the information, so if you can send me that link. They said it happened at 8:15 Mass. It marked the first week of school at next door Annunciation Catholic School. The local healthcare said they're treating 10 patients now, all but two being kids aged 6 to 14. Seven of them brought in as critical patients, four required the operating room. Children's of Minnesota confirmed it's treating six children injured in the shooting. And let's see, President Trump has said he's been briefed on the situation. Also, Governor Tim Walz, one-time vice presidential candidate, U.S. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem also informed her agency is monitoring the incident. So, we'll keep our eyes on this, but just a tragedy, absolute tragedy. Also, at the end of last hour, we're talking about what happened last night with municipal elections. And read some of your text here on this and get some phone calls. One of the things I thought on the mayor, and we'll go through some of the other municipalities, but the Mobile mayoral. So, I don't think there's... wasn't a hot take that we ended up with a runoff. I don't think that was a way better chance of there being a runoff than not being a runoff. But then we played this game, right? This is our political folks. This is our sports talk. This is the, what do you think next week if so-and-so, you know, can't start as quarterback? This is what we do. And one of my questions here is, where do you think votes go for the two that did not? They're not in the September 23rd runoff. In other words, Paul Prine voters, Connie Hudson voters, do they show up at all? If they show up, what candidate do they break to? What's your thought on that? 343-0106. Yeah, let's go to the phones here. David is first up to talk about this. Hey, David.
Hey, Sean, to build on your bow tie theory, budding bow tie theory from last hour,
yes.
You know who wears the bow tie that also won last night?
Who?
CJ Small.
He always, but that's not, because he always wins.
That's because he's a good guy.
Yeah, he is a good guy, and he can't help but winning. But yes, he does. He does rock a bow tie. I'm trying to think who's been elected. I'm trying to think of a national sense. If somebody don't say Tucker Carlson because he wasn't running for office. It'd be useful to wear the bow tie.
No, who's got like?
Can y'all go out there and scour the internet for candidates that wear bow ties, and then get back to David and I? All right, David, your thoughts here on this runoff coming up and how votes are going to split. I mean, do you think one of my thoughts is how many of the prime voters are going to show back up for the runoff?
The prime voters aren't what's going to propel the runoff. I think it's going to be the Connie Hudson
voters. I do, too. That's what I'm saying. By reductive, I'm saying that's why I asked it first, because I think way higher percentage of Hudson voters will show back up September 23rd than prime voters. I don't know why. I just feel it.
I agree with your sentiment, and here's why. Full disclosure, I voted for Connie Hudson yesterday. Most of the people that I know that I follow on Facebook or that I know that are very civically engaged also voted for Connie Hudson, and those people show back up on the runoff regardless of if their candidate made the runoff or not. So I think I fully expect Connie to, if she hasn't already by the end of the week, endorse Spiro Chirogatis, because she's still going to be a sitting county commissioner, and she's going to have to work with whoever is elected the next mayor of Mobile. And since both Chirogatis and Hudson have both run as Republicans in previous races, I fully expect her to endorse Chirogatis. But I will say this much. Of the voters that voted yesterday, over 65% of them voted for a Republican-related candidate. I know it's a nonpartisan race, but we know that Connie Hudson is a Republican. We know that Chirogatis was a Republican, and we can assume because of what he was saying and the type of conservative populist campaign that he was running, that Paul Prine is probably also a Republican. So my thinking is that unless there's just nobody that shows up to the polls on September 23rd, I think Chirogatis is going to win, because I think Representative Drummond, who is my representative and I have no complaints about her, reached her ceiling last night. I think because her voter base was not divided like the others, I think that's her ceiling, that 34-35%.
No, I think you're right in that. Coming into this, remember we're talking about, she had her built-in floor was substantial, but it also was bracketed by that ceiling. And I think you're right. If Chirogatis has, I mean, it's not like he's having to make up 20%, you know what I'm saying? He doesn't have to make up that much over what he was beaten by last night.
Correct. The biggest surprises to me last night were William Carroll losing in District 2. And that poses an interesting question of who's going to assume that Fred Richardson role on the council of dominating the council discussions, because he kind of assumed that role in this last term. And the other surprise was that the Lanyap Stan Jones treatment was not even successful in running off Teflon Tony in Orange Beach.
Yeah, and interesting, too, to hear that discussion. I mean, Jeff said it earlier, and I think he went a little further than I would have, but he said, hey, people knew all these things about Tony Kennan, and it didn't matter. He compared it with, you know, Trump with the porn stars and the this, that, and the other, and people still vote for him and don't care. Maybe we're at a new time in American politics, that it doesn't matter.
Well, it may not, but, you know, that's what surprised me. That I guess I shouldn't be surprised that Lanyap doesn't have the same type of influence over in Baldwin County that it does here in Mobile, because their base of operations is over here in Mobile.
I mean, but, you know, they took on Sam Jones, but it wasn't for, like, having the outcome of election.
Transparency.
Yes, exactly. And even doing rehash with the folks over there, they said, we weren't picking, but they weren't telling us the truth. And we were having to, and not getting us information, so we had to go after him, because that's their job. So they said they didn't go after Sam Jones because of politics. Like they just said that he wasn't telling the truth on these things. So we had to continue to research it, and he wouldn't give us answers. We couldn't get answers back from the mayor's office.
And it's the same exact reason with why they went. You know, they kept going after Tony Kennan because he hemmed and hawed. He obfuscated. He didn't answer questions. And whenever you get a reporter like Rob Hulbert or the reporters at Lanyap that you do that too, that makes them think there's something there, and they're just going to keep digging until they find what it is.
Yep, I completely agree with that. Also, you mentioned the William Carroll thing. Samantha Ingram, interesting to come in here and I mean, she's Mobilian, but had been away, and come in and beat an incumbent, which is, be cliche here, is not easy to do.
But you can say
William Carroll. I mean, last time he was elected, he was beaten before they went to a runoff. You know, and LeVon Manzi passed. He died, and so was he a full incumbent? You know, or I know he'd been there before in that position, but is the incumbency in bold, bold font or not? That is incumbent, yes, by definition. But was he, true incumbent? I don't know. That one surprised me that Samantha Ingram won that.
Yeah, and it surprised me too. That was really the only surprise to me in all of the Mobile City Council elections. It kind of went the way I expected on the other races. So.
There we go. Appreciate your call. We'll grab some more of y'all's calls when we come back. Also, get to these texts. What do you think about last night? What do you think about what's coming up for the September 23rd runoff? It's kind of interesting here where you think the votes will break. Oh, and somebody, this is Norm in West Mobile. What's up, Norm? Said the annexed citizens were left high and dry on where to vote. Everyone I saw was going to Creekside was turned away. I had to go to Connie Hudson Center on Hillcrest. Ridiculous. Roll Tide roll. And Roll Tide roll to you, Norm. We did give the information about the website where you plugged your address in, but I know not everybody got that yesterday. I'm sure we'll have it for the next election, though, right? We don't ever forget.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Time to check in with my buddy David McCrary, somewhere nearby LCM Motor Cars on his lunch hour here, but still, let's talk inventory. David, how's it looking?
Good. We had a truck come in last night after hours, and we've got another one should be here this afternoon or in the morning with some fresh stuff. Got a few vehicles, which we don't normally have, under $10,000, which is a hard thing to do because you have to be real careful with what you buy. I mean, normally, I tell people if you're buying something under 10 grand, you're buying a problem, especially a truck. I mean, you can't find a truck under $10,000 unless you're buying somebody else's mess. But we've got a couple of Camrys. We got a little Dodge Dakota in, and they were both trade-ins. And we also got some other stuff that came in off the truck yesterday, some real good inventory. So it's a good time to come see us.
Okay. Well, tell them how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. We're 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website. We should have pictures of all the new stuff up in the next hour or so, lcmmotorcars.com.
Good stuff, David. We'll talk soon.
Have a good day, bud.
All right, you too. There goes David at LCM Motor Cars. Let's go to the text line here. Ben says Herman Thomas would know he would have gotten whooped, and he's okay with that. I think he was a whooper, right? Or whoopee. Maximus, I think Prine's followers will go to Barbara and Connie's to Spiro. Rumor has it Prine is selling his voters to the candidates for a position in the new government. I don't know, and this is like, there's no research. This is just like finger of the wind here. I don't know that it is big a percentage of, doesn't mean no one or anything, but I think there will be and I kind of agree with what David said, too. I think there's going to be a bigger percentage of people that voted for Connie Hudson that will come back out on the 23rd than people that voted for Paul Prine. But I mean, there's probably no way of ever really knowing that. But Paul says, George Williams on his show last evening was hoping that Herman Thomas would win. Could you ask him why? Does he not know his history? George, if you're listening, you can call in. You know the call-in number. And chime in on that. If not, Paul, when I see George, I will ask him. A conversation he was also having on the show about the PSC. That we're going to get. Give us a week or two here. We'll get more into that and people running for PSC. I've been focused on that a long time, and what I think is not a great. We don't have a great public service commission here. I think we could do better. Let's see. DEI Texter says, Spiro represents the anti-MAGA conservative like me. I've said still exists, silent majority, if you will. Yeah, but how much of that, how much of the MAGA stuff is important in municipal level? the MAMGA, make Mobile great again, MAMGA, MAMGA, make Mobile great again. But they all kind of talk a different idea of how to make Mobile great again. I think they're going to have, I think they're all going to have big shoes to fill. I've said this before. All four of them are going to have very big shoes to fill. Sandy Simpson, in my lifetime, to me, has been the best mayor. Now, I know, Jeff, that was interesting. You talk about the Mount Rushmore of Mobile mayors. You know, who'd you put on there? It's an interesting discussion. But I would say I outrank all of them with Sandy Simpson. And y'all know, listen to the show, there's been things I did not agree with. But that's, I mean, this idea that you agree with everything that something, you have to agree with everything someone does or you don't like them, is silly. Like I've told you all before, people go, well, I heard you criticizing Trump. About 20% of the time, I don't like decisions he makes. 80%, I'm glad he's president. 80% of the time, I do. But I have problems with stuff he does. I think that's just being a human. I think Sandy Simpson, those are big shoes to fill right there. All right, Jeff in Spanish Fort said the shooter, so we're talking about the dirtbag murderer of children. Say, you know, a person who, and you're accurate, Jeff, I'm not picking on you, the shooter, but for me, the murderer of children does not have a known extensive criminal record. What exactly does that mean? He has a long criminal record, but in Minnesota, that's okay. Blue states. I need to see that. Send me a link on that to educate me, because I have not seen the record come up yet. I'm sure it's out there on the web somewhere. Let's see, this from Derek said, I really thought Prine would have been there. From what I saw on the ground did not match with the votes unless I saw every single one of them. You know what's interesting is loud voters and quiet voters. It was the thing that surprised the heck out of them in 2016 with Trump, right? They had all the polling out there that said, Hillary's going to win. There were people that were voting for Trump that didn't say anything about it. Now, I'd say a lot changed 4 years later and 8 years later, but they absolutely showed up to vote. So are they, you know, people like Paul Prine had, and he would look on social media, had people that were pretty loud about their support for him. Where maybe somebody who voted for one of the other three, you know, figured that's who their person was, but they weren't engaged enough to be like, that's my person, rah, 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 rah. Let's see. Lawrence in Mobile said, do you think that Drummond will get the same number of votes in the runoff? Spiro will get many more votes and a higher percentage. I think Barbara Drummond will represent Drummond, will have more than the 32%, but I do not think it will be a massive amount. And like I told you, if you look at the breakdown here, it's not a big difference between the two. Now, Barbara Drummond absolutely won out of the four, still a runoff, but won with 34% of the vote. Sherry got us 27.8%, the 0.8 stuff. Let's just call it 28%. 6% difference. But that's kind of what we're asking Texture, too. Where do you think, and this is interesting, oh, Lawrence, sorry, give me your name. Thank you, Lawrence. Look at the other two, Prine and Hudson. Their voters, do they show back up on the 23rd? Because this has been proven to be true in cases where if their person did not win, they don't show back up for a runoff because they figure, well, their person didn't win, they don't care. But out of those two, what percentage are going to show up? And then which way do you think they break? Do they break for Jerry Gattis? Do they break for Drummond? Jason says, has the huge screw-up on polling locations been discussed? I worked at, wait, a little bit earlier, Norm did, said, I worked at Woodridge Baptist yesterday and saw high numbers of people sent to the wrong locations. Many got frustrated and went home without voting. That's bad. You know, we were given here on the air, and maybe we should have even done it more and more and more. You know, you go to that Secretary of State's website and you plug in your address and it shows you where your polling location is. Or you got the card, right? But some people lose the card and you get in a habit. Like, oh, I've always voted here, and you show up. So, good point. I knew it was somebody else. Tesher says State Representative Napoleon Bracey is a bow tie wearer on the last day of session. He gets almost the entire House and Senate to dress out in bow ties as well. Good point. Thank you. We'll be right back. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Time to check in with my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And if y'all didn't realize, football gets started in earnest, Friday night here with Auburn on FM Talk 106.5 and all weekend long. Anna, y'all are asleep on that. Y'all have got some, for football fans, what do y'all got at the shop?
Well, we have the collegiate watches and actually have some pendants, so some jewelry, some necklaces for girls with the different teams. And then we have these brand new, never seen before, 1 ounce fine silver, colorized Auburn and Alabama silver rounds and bars. They're on their way. They expect them to be here hopefully Friday.
So, I mean, this is actual silver. I mean, what are we talking about? You have precious metal, but it's logoed up for your team.
Yes, officially licensed product, yes, sir. And they're 1 ounce of fine silver. They come in the shape of like a round or a rectangle shape.
It's pretty cool. And I've seen, you showed me the watches before, and I've described to folks, you're a big, Bama fan or big Auburn fan. These things look, I mean, they're a tough-looking watch.
Oh, yeah, they're nice, too. And they're ladies and gents watches. So you could get a couple. You could get for yourself one. You can get your wife or girlfriend one. They're excellent watches.
All right. So they want to come in, check those out and everything else going on. How do they find you? If they've never been, they don't know where you are, tell them how to find you.
We're at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. You can also find us on Facebook or our website, mobilebaycoins.com, or you can call us at the shop. Phone number is 251-725-1590.
Hey, thanks, Anna.
See ya.
All right. There she goes, Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Talking about the official licensed merchandise, though, for the watches and the silver and all that, there's a built-in, you can pay a price on that. I remember what was a couple decades ago, they actually started protecting the copyright of the Script A for my alma mater, Dixie's Football Pride, Crimson Tide, and it still continues. So I was looking the other day. So if y'all see me, like been wearing them for years. I'm probably going to have to stop wearing them because they've gotten to be pretty popular. And shirts from a brand called Poncho. And I like them because I like pearl snap shirts. It all started with, long story, but Academy here in town, right? Academy is out of Texas. They used to stock a bunch of pearl snap stuff because they were a Texas company. Nobody here wanted them. I guess this is similar to the way I buy stocks and stuff, right? So nobody wanted them, so they all went on the nice price rack. So I used to buy those when they were like $7 or $8. Because I like pearl snaps. And then this brand Poncho came out. And I like their shirts. And I wear a bunch of those. They're kind of in my normal rotation. People here at work can probably laugh and say, oh, it's Tuesday. Sean will have that shirt on. And it's kind of simple like that. But I went on and they've got their game day shirts on for Poncho. And I looked. So they have two shirts. They have them for a bunch of different teams out there. But, of course, I was looking for those crimson shirts. And they have one that is called the Tuscaloosa. Okay. $79.95 for the shirt. Okay. It's crimson. They have one with the Script A called the Bryant. Same shirt as a Script A, $124.95. So the shirt without the Script A, $79.95. The one with the Script A, $124.95. That's how you end up paying coaches. That's where that money comes in. All right, let's go to the text line at 343-0106. Matt said, hey, Sean, I think you, Jeff, and David are sleeping on Prine's constituency. They were so PO'd at Spiro's campaign. I guarantee you over 50% of them are swinging towards Barbara's way. Okay, this is interesting, too, because, Matt, there's two things. It's how they, where they go, and do they show back up, right? So you said 50% you think will swing towards Barber's way, and if he was lucky to get all of them, that would make it a very close. Oh, if she was lucky enough to get all of them, that would make it a very close election. But either way, both Spiro and Drummond are going to have to get their voters to come back out in a month. So one good point there, too. I was already jumping past it, but Matt, they do. They have to make sure the people that showed up for them yesterday, all them show back up. And then how many of Hudson supporters and Prine supporters show back up? And then how do they swing? So you're thinking 50%. Matt's thought here. What do you think? 50% of Prine supporters that show back up, he thinks, will swing towards Barbara Drummond. Bill says, what in the world is a non-MAGA conservative? Why didn't he just go ahead and say he loves George Bush and neocons? Those policies have worked so well for us over the last 30 years, right? We definitely don't have a huge government debt, and we've won all the wars we've been involved in recently. Correct me if I'm wrong. So, Bill, there's a, you said a lot there. I do think there's conservatives that are, like people that I'm a fan of because I think they are conservative, and yes, they are both very libertarian. One carries the L sometimes. One is, so in the House, Thomas Massey, in the Senate, Rand Paul, right? I'm a big fan of those guys because of their consistency, which run, same for me, it kind of runs afoul sometimes of populism, right? You know, be like, you're a stick in the mud. Well, maybe I am. So maybe that's a non-MAGA conservative. And I told you, Bill, like 80% of the time, I think what Trump's doing is good. There is 20% of the time I don't agree. But 100% agree with you that the Bush legacy and the neocons, I was torn the other day. I was torn because I wanted to make sure that John Bolton really did do something wrong. And I don't like the idea of using an office to go after your enemies, like a third world country. But it really didn't bother me when they went after John Bolton. I couldn't believe that back then, Bill. I don't know if you were listening back then when Trump brought Bolton in his first term and brought him in. And I remember hollering about it here on the air. I said, one of the reasons folks lined up, voted for Trump in the first place was he was not going to get us in all these wars. And then he has John Bolton in there as an advisor. Remember, and I don't know how long he lasted. Then he gets fired and he goes on all the MSNBC shows or CNN and talks bad about Trump. If y'all haven't noticed over time, I'm not a John Bolton fan. I've said over the years, John Bolton, who did serve in the military, so I will give him this, but John Bolton's always looking for a war to put your kids in. So I'm glad that the bridge has been burned there, that John Bolton won't show back up this time, Trump's second term. But I think there are still some people out there that I do hear what you're saying. There are people that are non-MAGA conservatives. It's like George Bush and neocons. I agree. And I think there's another group of them out there that are like more of a libertarian bent, a strict constitutionalist bent versus a populist. All right. Let's see. This unnamed texter says the polling locations for municipal elections are usually different from the regular elections, county, state, and federal. Municipal election polling locations are based on council districts and your ward. That is correct. Y'all remember this for next time, and maybe we'll start rolling the information out earlier, but if you go to the Secretary of State's website and you plug your information in for whichever election is going on right then, and it shows it at the site, you put your address in, it tells you where to go vote in that election. Texter also goes on to say, also, I think a large majority of Paul Prine supporters live outside the city limits of Mobile. Therefore, they couldn't vote for Prine. Glad that Prine isn't in the runoff for mayor. Prine is a hothead and his supporters are just generally mean on Facebook. Yeah, and that's one of the things I guess I was talking about, that they are mean or animated, right? They are a vocal group where maybe supporters of some of the other three aren't as vocal. And it could have given us expectation that there were more of them showing up at the polls in Mobile yesterday than there were going to be. And, you know, I have seen the phenomenon of the Paul Prine signs outside of Mobile. Of course, there's a lot in Saraland. I live out past the city limits, West Mobile County, and a lot of Paul Prine signs out there I would see. But I did see over the last month or so a good number of Prine yard signs in the city of Mobile. And many times, too, I've asked y'all when people have called in and they're supporting Paul Prine, I've asked them on the text line, hey, where do you live? Not your address, but they'll be, oh, I live in Mobile. So, but hey, it was the stats yesterday show that, 17% of the vote. Sorry. I get the numbers all after a while. I've been looking at them long enough here. I think, so Prine with, or not, sorry, 19.72% of the vote for Paul Prine yesterday. All right, Superbomb. What's up, Superbomb? Said, my card that I received just last week said I voted at the Abbott Shrine. I was directed from there to go to South, to go south on Schillinger to another church. From there, I was sent to a church on Greelot. That was a lot of traveling to vote for my two candidates that didn't win. Now, that's ridiculous. Now there's something to go after here. And if you're listening at probate, listen to state. So Supermom, she got the card. So she got the thing, read the thing instead of round filing it, throwing it away. She read the thing. It said she voted at Abbott Shrine. She goes to Abbott Shrine, if I'm following this correctly. Abbott Shrine says, no, you're not supposed to vote here. You go south on Schillinger to another church. You get there, and they say, no, you're not here. You go to another church on Greelot. Now, that's bad. Because good for you and your civic duty, you kept trying until you got to the right place. But there's a lot of people, you only got X number of minutes off, you know, whether you're doing it before work, you're doing it at lunch, or you're, you know, coming home and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to go vote, but then I got to go to the grocery store, and you get sent to the second place. Maybe you don't go to the third place. Superbowl, I'm going to cut and paste that. And if y'all are listening to probate or alcohol down there, or if it's Secretary of State's office, that is bad. Somebody who got the, you know, this is not somebody who just didn't pay attention. Got the card, and the card told them to go vote somewhere, and that wasn't the place. And that place tells them to go vote somewhere else, and that's not the place, and sends them to yet a third place. Wow. Because I've made the assumption, because it happens a lot of times, people will go vote somewhere because that's where they always vote. And they say, well, I didn't look at the blue card, I didn't do whatever. I just go vote where, you know. But this case, you went to where you were told, and that was not the place. The place that place sent you to was not the place. That is bad. All right, Ultra Runner said 20% voter participation is appalling, but those few voters are typically motivated to shape our government, and most will return to cast another ballot for the lesser of two evils. Most of the time, Ultra Runner, you are correct. But there have been runoff elections in our fair city I've seen that has not happened that way. So we'll see what comes of it. Coming right back, get more texts and calls at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 152 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad you are along. And I was just talking to Leanna during the break here. You can see some of these pictures on our Facebook page. And in this case, we're talking yesterday with Mark Colson from the Alabama Trucking Association about people that are not qualified to have a CDL, like the guy down in Florida, illegal immigrant, let alone not a trained truck driver. End up killing three people, injuring more. But these people should be able to read. They look like they're Americans, like that have been here a while. I don't know, old folks running their vehicles into the Bankhead Tunnel. It's back. It's been a while. So we have one of the Nutria Rodeo provided signs in our studio. It says the Bankhead Tunnel, and it has a place for you to write in with dry erase marker, blank days since the last accident, you know, like you have out in a shop or something. So I guess it's back to zero now as they're wrecking into the Bankhead Tunnel. So that's always, whatever concrete they made, that's the concrete we want to make everything else out of. That, think about the impacts that the westbound header there for the Bankhead Tunnel has taken over the years, and it's pretty much still holding up. Also, while you're on there, I enjoyed this, too. I was talking to Chief Green, Fire Battalion Chief in Daphne, The pictures of him wrangling horses in Daphne. I like this. So, horse on the loose in Daphne. He gets a lasso made up, lassos the horse. Impressive cowboy work there. I like it. I like it, Chief. Good stuff. All right, I mentioned this at the beginning of last hour, but heads up here, College Pick'em, and I'm just going to stay on y'all the next day or two here. College Pick'em, it gets started this weekend. You need to be in, because what will happen is if you don't get in the first weekend, then you'll be like, I'm so far behind, it's not worth it. I want you in. College Pick'em. So, once again, if you have been in College Pick'em with us in the past, or you're one of the 800 or so folks last year, check your email. Dalton has sent you a link to go back through and, you know, to get your same username and everything, click through and get your picks made for this year. If you've not done it, you want to join our crew, what you need to do is go check out fmtalk1065.com. That's our website. If you go right there, you click the, along the top there, it says College Pick'em. Click that. It'll walk you through how to get signed up. Doesn't cost you anything. You make yourself a nickname, start picking games. Of course, you get to trash talk all season long and win fabulous prizes and the showcase. Big thank you to Spring Hill Ace Hardware. Put this together. Over $1,500 put together here with a Rectech Patio Legend 400 wood pellet Wi-Fi grill and smoker, plus the cover and the hardwood pellets to go with it, a TurtleBox Ranger Bluetooth speaker, a Yeti Hopper cooler, all this together, everything you need for enjoying the backyard there, grilling, watching the game. It's going to be yours if you are the best picker of the games each week. But you got to get signed up and get in so you can win and you can trash talk with us all season long. So go, if you didn't do it in the past, go to fmtalk1065.com, click the link at the top. This is College Pick'em, walks you through. If you've been in the past, then go ahead and check your email for something from Dalton. And if you got any questions the next 2 days, just email Dalton or you can email me and I'll forward your email on. All right, back to the text line here. Jason says, Supermom is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. These people had cards directing them to a location they weren't on the roll for. That's a big fail. So Jason saw it because Jason was working at a polling location yesterday. Supermom's confirming this. Because a lot of times I hear it and go, well, they didn't pay attention. This case, and I know this person paid attention. Well, Supermom came back and said the Abba Shrine wasn't even doing voting. They said it was pulled from there at the last minute. They suggested I go to the church on Schillinger. The Schillinger Road Church gave him a license and told me my locations. That's how it went. Come on. Election official, you had one job here. Looks like Saraland was not much better or about the same as Mobile. Saraland had a 22% turnout for yesterday's election. For some reason, I thought Saraland would be more engaged. I get that feeling. Several friends that live there. I thought it'd be a bigger turnout than 22%. But once again, I want people to turn out for presidential and off-cycle congressional, but also turn out for municipal. Do your own work here and compare what the turnout is when there's a presidential election and when there's a municipal election. The turnout should be the same for both. Both are important. That is the system our founders set up. This is a good idea. Jerry said, I got a great idea for the station. You should get with the fish app people or fish rules, which is something that a lot of us who fish in the Gulf use because it always updates where you are and what the rules are for what you can keep. Seasons are open, what species, all that. That changes a good bit. It's really a heck of an app. We talk about it on the Outdoor Show a bunch. Fish rules. I've got it right here on my phone looking at it. He said you should develop with those people a vote spot app, which would be really good because what this fish rules thing does, it takes your GPS location and tells you snapper open it. Because, you might be in Louisiana one time, Alabama another, Florida tells you that. But if we could do just an app so instead of even going to the website, you could just. Okay, we'll get to work on it. Actually, I will find somebody to get to work on it, Jerry. It's not a bad idea at all. All right, Paul Feinbaum Show, which should be full of a lot of stuff to talk about. starts in just minutes right here on FM Talk 106.5. We'll do it again tomorrow. See you then.